Good evening, and we are welcoming three different crowds this time. We have our in-person crowd, we have our Zoom crowd, and we have our school board members who are at a board meeting right now who are listening to the recording. Welcome to all. If I'm seeming a little bit with less stamina than I usually have, it's because I'm feeling a little under the weather. Thank God everything is okay. And also, today we have the great privilege of our twin kindergartners starting with orientation today, which was a wonderful experience to be back in school and to be back on those tiny desks and chairs. They asked me to leave the desk and chairs, but it was a very enlightening experience. And it reminded me of one of my favorite stories involving a kindergarten class, which is a kindergarten teacher who asked the students, where is the Ribono Shel Olam? Kinderlach, where is the Ribono Shel Olam? So one kid raises his hand, he said, Ribono Shel Olam is in the clouds. And a different kid says, Ribono Shel Olam is on top of the mountains, and so on and so forth. Until one kid says, the Ribono Shel Olam is in the bathroom. Teacher says, excuse me? He says, Ribono Shel Olam is in the bathroom. Teacher says, that's probably true too, I guess, but why do you say that? And the little kid says, well, I don't really know so much, but all I know is that every Friday afternoon, when my sister is taking a shower, my father bangs on the door and he screams, Ribono Shel Olam, will you get out of there already? Ribono Shel Olam is everywhere. And to that extent, we spoke last week about tefillah beyond the walls of the shul, of the Beis Medrash, to use brachos as an opportunity to talk to Hashem all day long, to daven to Hashem all day long. Which now leads to the question of, so then what's the big idea about shul? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if the Ribono Shel Olam is everywhere, so why would there be a heightened, some kind of betterment to our tefillos of davening in shul? Or is there really any benefit or any betterment to our tefillos when we daven in shul? To address this question, we're going to have to consider the words of a very famous Jewish philosopher who said, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Again, I had a lot of orientation today, so just forgive me for where my head is at right now. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if the Ribono Shel Olam is everywhere, so then why would it make a difference where we are davening? Can't we daven wherever we are? And that's a good thing to keep in mind as we consider what Chazal say about the benefits of davening in a shul. If you look in source number one, the Gemara Maseches Brachos says, Amrei Shlakish, Kol mi sheyesh lo beis hakneses b'iro, whoever has access to a shul in his or her neighborhood, ve'eino nichna sham l'sbal, and chooses not to daven in the shul. They are davening, but they're choosing not to daven in the shul that they have access to. Nikra shachin ra. They are referred to as a bad neighbor. Shenemar, Kol Amar Hashem, Al Kol Shechinai Haraim, Hashem refers to all the bad neighbors who are not coming to the Beis HaMikdash. So number one, they're called bad neighbors. V'lo Od, says the Gemara, Ela Shagorim Galus Lo Ulabanav. Person is deserving of being exiled for them and their offspring. Shenemar, the Pasuk continues, V'hinini Nitsham Me'al Admasam V'yaspeis Yehuda Et Tosh Mitocham. I will kick them out from the land and from the Beis HaMikdash. Wow, it's really harsh. Hashem says, if you're davening, but you're not davening in shul, and you have access to shul, and you're choosing not to come to shul, you're a bad neighbor, and you're causing galus. What's the connection to a bad neighbor? The Mishnah Berurah in source number two explains, "Techein derech shekeinim harayim she'ein nechnasim leveis chavareim." A bad neighbor, you could argue this the other way. You could argue a bad neighbor is one who comes too much and doesn't leave and leaves all their garbage all over your lawn. But a really bad neighbor is someone who doesn't look in on you. If you're not feeling well, you want a neighbor to take care of you. You want a neighbor to help take your garbage cans out when you can't do it yourself. A good neighbor is one who comes to visit, who comes to check to see how you're doing. And therefore, a person who has access to the shul and chooses not to come to shul is like a bad neighbor who is neglecting someone or something in their neighborhood. Mishnah Berurah quotes an interesting discussion. We often conflate the ideas of davening in shul and davening with a minyan. We assume you go to shul, you daven with a minyan. You don't daven in shul, you don't have a minyan. But there are actually two different, distinct, special concepts. We'll discuss minyan in the weeks to come. But just for base hakneses, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a discussion, v'ayim ba'achronim shekaspu, sha'afilu ein sham minyan asara, even if there's no minyan in the shul. D'hastamakatani, the Gemara says, if you don't daven in a shul, you're a bad neighbor. That means even if you're davening, and you have maybe a minyan where you are, and if you daven in shul, there won't be a minyan. There's something bad, maybe, about not going to shul when you could go to shul, even when the shul doesn't have a minyan. But then, Mishnah Berurah walks it back a little bit. V'yemispalo b'beiso ba'asara. B'chol gavne eino nekra shachin ra. If you're davening in a house minyan, then you can't call a person a bad neighbor for not going to the Beis HaKnesses. The chol be'asara shachinta sharia. There is a elevated level of shechina in any place that has a minyan. So even if it's a house minyan, that is still something. Umiyu, al kol panim. Midi chovas Beis HaKnesses lo nafik. Unless the house is designated to be a place of davening all the time, which is not true of a regular house minyan, they're not fulfilling the idea of Beis HaKnesses. What he's saying is very interesting. Mishnah Berurah is telling us, a person davens with a minyan, and they have a house minyan, they have Kriyas HaTorah, and they have a drasha, and they have a great kiddush, and they have all the stuff that they want in their house minyan. There's something missing still. There's a special milah to davening in Beis HaKnesses, even if you have a minyan without it, and maybe, even if there's no minyan in shul, there's still a value to davening in the synagogue with or without a minyan. Shulchan Aruch writes, in source number 3, a person should try, yeshadel adam lespalel bebeis haknesses imat tzibur. Two different things. A person should try to daven in a shul, and also to have a minyan. The imhu anas, the person doesn't have the option to do so. Sheino yachal leilich, sheino yachal avol bebeis haknesses, yechavin lehespalel b'shasha tzibur mespalel. We'll get back to that in a few weeks when we talk about minyan. To time your personal tefillah at the same time as the tzibur. We'll get back to that another time. But for today's purposes, v'cheinim nenas lo espalo b'sha she'espalo at tzibur. V'hum espalo b'yachid, afal p'ken yespalo b'beis haknesses. If a person has a choice to daven b'yachidus in the home, or daven b'yachidus in shul, there's a maila, there's a benefit to davening b'yachidus in shul. If you want the code, ask me, I'll give you the code to the shul, and you can come in, you can daven b'yachidus in the shul. Wow. Why? Again, if you only can get a minyan in shul, I get it. The minyan, the Kriyas HaTorah, the Kaddish, the Kedusha, the Baruch Hu, that's why you should go to shul. We should go to shul because we can do things in shul that we can't do out of shul. But now we're describing something else. We're describing the idea, the benefit of davening in shul, even if there's no minyan in shul. If it's one against the other, it's a good question. Better to daven in shul without a minyan or daven away from shul with a minyan? That's a question we're not going to answer right now. But we're just describing, to all things being equal, there's a benefit to davening in shul. Why? Mishnah Berurah there explains in source number 4. Mepnei shehu makom kavua lekedusha, because a shul is a place that's miyuchad, it is designated for enhanced hashras hashchina, utfilaso miskabelas sham yoser. A person's tfilos have a greater chance of being answered, Chazal tell us, if they daven in the shul. And really, that's a quote from the Gemara Maseches Brachos in source number 5. The Gemara says, Tanya, Abba ben Yamin Omer, ein tfila shel adam nishmas ela beis haknesses. A person's tefillah isn't really answered, or isn't answered in the same way, unless they're davening in a shul. And again, that may not even be with a minyan. Just davening in a shul building is an enhancement to one's tefillah, and according to Chazal, increases the likelihood that it'll be accepted. Notice Chazal didn't say it's more acceptable. Chazal speak in very extremes. They said, a person's tefillah is not answered, not heard, unless they're davening in a Beis HaKnesses. What's the source? Shenemar, Lishmoa el harina, v'ela tefillah. That's going to be the refrain that we use this Motzei Shabbos for Slichos. Lishmoa el harina, v'ela tefillah. Hashem listens to the song and the tefillah. B'makom rina, says the Gemara, sham tehei tefillah. A person should daven in the place where there's rina. Why would that mean davening in shul? So Rashi explains, B'beis HaKnesses, Shesham omrim hatzibor shiros v'tishbachos b'ne'imas kol arev. People daven in a house, when they daven fast, they want to move things along. You daven in a shul, and they sing, when they take out the Torah, and they sing Eitz Chaim Hi. Person davens in a shul. A shul is known to be a place of song. And if we darshan the pasuk to mean that Hashem listens to tefillos only in a place of song, which means a Beis HaKnesses, the Gemara is telling us that tefillos are answered more, or maybe at all, only. It's a hard thing to say, only. But certainly there's a benefit from the tefillos being accepted perspective to daven in a Beis HaKnesses. And again, we said, maybe even without a minyan. Amar Ravin bar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, the Gemara continues, Minayin shakadosh baruch hu matzoi bebeis HaKnesses. Shakadosh baruch hu is more present. He's more available in a shul. Shenamar lokim nitzav ba'adas keil. God stands in the gathering for God. Well, you could argue that any minyan, anywhere, in the fields, in the house, is a gathering of God. So how does that pasuk imply God is standing, God is found in the shul? Rashi explains, bebeis mu'ad shalom, beis mu'ad shalom, where Hashem tends to be found, where Hashem's presence is kavua, is set to be. So rather than answer any questions so far, this just raises the question. This kind of sets up what it is we're going to be talking about. What are we supposed to be thinking about when we come to shul? Or why should we come back to shul if we haven't yet? Or what should we view as the benefits of coming to shul? Well, without understanding why yet, what the Gemara is very clear about is that a person who davens in shul has a great enhancement to their tefillah, and certainly to their tefillahs being accepted. There's something special about davening in shul that it may trump minyan, maybe yes, maybe no, but certainly all things being equal, davening in shul, even without a minyan, is a benefit to one's tefillah. And we're going to have to understand why. If Hashem is here, if he's there, if he's everywhere, why would the tefillahs be more accepted when a person davens in a shul? So to understand this, we have to conceptualize what is really a shul. They didn't really have shuls in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't have shuls necessarily when they had a Beis HaMikdash. So what exactly is the concept of a shul? Where did this concept come from? We are familiar with the idea of a Makom Kedusha, much as I kidded and joked about Hashem being everywhere, so how could places have more Shechina? That's obviously a joke. We know the Beis HaMikdash had more Shechina, so obviously there's more of an awareness of Hashem or a heightened presence of Hashem in certain places, but that applies to the Mikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us in the desert, V'yasu li Mikdash, V'shachan ti b'socham. Hashem says, make for me a Mikdash, and I'll dwell among them. Again, there's a nice Hasidic Shavuot about dwelling in each person. It doesn't say Bisocha, it says, I'll dwell in each person. Every person's a mini Mikdash. That's a nice drush. It's really wonderful. In the context of the Pasuk, it means, I will live among the people when I have a Mikdash. God wasn't there beforehand. God performed miracles in Mitzrayim. God gave us Kriyas Yamsuf and the Mun. All that happened before this. Hey, Kabbalah Satorah happened before this. What does God mean? Make a Mikdash, and then I'll be among you. So who was that being doing all those miracles for us before? Who was that one talking to us? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What does God mean? I'll build you a Mikdash and I'll be among you. You're not among us now? We understand that there's some heightened level of Kedusha. Obviously Hashem is everywhere. Rono Shalom is in the bathroom, that's true. But the way we behave in the bathroom isn't the same as we behave out of the bathroom or on the streets. So apparently there's a different level of awareness of Hashem or a different way in which we relate to Hashem based on where we are. And there are certain spots that are miyuchad for Kedusha. That's the Beis HaMikdash. That is the Mishkan. That is the Beis HaMikdash. So where do shuls come from? Pasuk in Yechezkel, which talks about the Churban. Hashem tells us post-Churban, L'chein emar ko'amar Hashem Elokim, Ki yirchaktim bagayim, when I distanced the Jewish people among the nations of the world, v'chi hafitzosim ba'aretzos, and I scattered them throughout all the four corners of the earth, v'ahi lahem l'mikdash ma'at. I will make for them mikdash ma'at. I'll be for them, I'll have access to them in a mikdash ma'at, in all the lands that they are. What is this mikdash ma'at? I'd love to see it. Where is this mini temple? With like fire and karbanos? Where is this mini temple? So the Gemara says in Mesachas Megillah, on this pasuk, source number 8, V'ahi lehem mikdash ma'at, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Eidu batei kinesios, ubatei midrashos, Shuvah Bavel. These are the shuls and places to gather to learn. And Bavel isn't only Bavel. That was the context of Nebuchadnezzar, the first Churban. They were actually traveling to Bavel. They were being exiled to Bavel. But really, it's shuls. Shuls are mikdash ma'at. So on a simple level, you could just say, yeah, it's a zeichel le'mikdash. When we had the real mikdash, we had the real, the bona fide, primal opportunity for Hashras HaShechina, that was great. And Nebuch, when we didn't have that opportunity, God gave us these miniature models, miniature reminders. So we have a chance to, oh, look, it's cute. There was a Shulchan in the Mikdash. We also have a Shulchan in our Shul. We have a Bima. And we have a Menorah. Hey, that's really cute. And we have an Aron. Hey, a lot of parallels there. It's cute. We have our little tiny model based on Mikdash. That's wonderful. So on a simple level, it's not to forget the base on Mikdash, not to lose out. We have our mini base on Mikdash. But Chazal understand Mikdash Ma'at is something so much more than just, hey, it's cute. It's a mini version of what we used to have. The Gemara comments later on in that same daf in Megillah. The Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaKapper Omer, Asidin Bate Kinesios Ubate Midrasho Shebebavel Sheyikbu Be'eretz Yisrael. There will come a time when Mashiach comes and the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and we're all going to be asked to leave our neighborhoods and make Aliyah. The ultimate nefesh b'nefesh experience. We all have our Instagram, it's going to be really exciting. We're all looking forward. We daven for it every single day. But what's going to be of our shuls? All our beautiful shuls of Sfarim and Tfilos. What's going to be of our shuls? The Gemara says the shuls are going to pick up and book their own nefesh b'nefesh flight with their own giant shul-sized t-shirts and caps. And the shuls are going to go to Eretz Yisrael. What's that about? Mikdash Ma'at was cute, But why are they coming with us? What Chazal are telling us with this understanding of Mikdash Ma'at is not that Mikdash Ma'at means our shuls are a model based on Mikdash. They're a cute reminder, a zecher leMikdash, so we don't forget what it's like to daven, or we don't forget what it's like to have a shulchan and a menorah and an aron. Chazal are telling us that those areas in our Chutz La'aretz neighborhoods are almost like extensions of Eretz Yisrael now. So when we all leave to Eretz Yisrael, those pieces of Eretz Yisrael come with us. When a person builds a shul, when a person spends time in a shul, they are spending time in a satellite, in an extension of Eretz Yisrael. Think of it as an embassy or a consulate. The consulate, the embassy in another country, is the sovereign territory of the country who is inhabiting the consulate. It's an American embassy in a different country, in Sweden. It's American soil. And they need permission from the Americans to go there. It's not Swedish territory. It's an American territory that exists in all the countries of the world. What an interesting concept. It's America all over the place. It's an Israeli embassy all over the place. A Mikdash Ma'at is a Beis HaMikdash, is a piece of Eretz Yisrael that we have now that we can access wherever we are. And when a person chooses not to go spend time there, you're a bad neighbor. You're not visiting Eretz Yisrael. Who wouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael if you had the choice? Well, we all can go to Eretz Yisrael if you have the choice. We have the choice to go to shul. Shul is a Mikdash Ma'at. A shul is an extension, a satellite, an embassy, a consulate of Eretz Yisrael territory. Every time you spend a shir in a Beis HaMedrash or tefillah in a shul, with or without a minion, you are spending special time in Eretz Yisrael. Can we count being on Zoom and I'm in? Okay, it's a good question if we can count being remotely. Maybe yes, maybe no. But think about that. Hashem is everywhere. And there's a certain Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a certain Kedusha in the Mikdash. B'shachanti b'socham. Every shul is an extension of that same Kedusha scattered throughout the world. Big, small, if it's miyuchad, if it's a makom kavua for tefillah and for Talmud Torah, it's a mini Mikdash. Because of that, we're going to see some amazing applications of this, of what it means that a shul really has the status of mini Eretz Yisrael, of a mini Mikdash, a Mikdash Ma'at. Not small in the sense of inferior. Right? Nowadays, I heard Rosner once say this, right? As the phones get smaller, it's not because they're getting worse. It's they're more mobile. They're more portable. Mikdash Ma'at doesn't mean small in the sense of being weaker or being worse. That's a small Mikdash. No. It's a portable Mikdash. It's a Mikdash you can access wherever you are. You can access Eretz Yisrael in any neighborhood in the world. If there's a Chabad, then you can access it. Any neighborhood in the world, even on the moon, there's a Chabad. Anywhere you go. If you want to access the Beis HaMikdash in Galus, you go to any shul. V'ahi lehem l'mikdash ma'at. God is saying when you're in Galus and you don't have access to the real Mikdash, kind of zecher l'mikdash. You're in a piece of the Mikdash. You're in a piece of Eretz Yisrael and a piece of the Mikdash. So much so, the Gemara in Brachos in source number 10 says, Arbalei Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, was told that there are elderly people who live in Bavel. Tamavi Amar, Rabbi Yochanan was very confused. He was puzzled and he said, how could it be that people have aged a great number of years living in Bavel? The pasuk we say in Kriya Shema says, Lema'an yirbu yameichem, v'imei v'neichem, you're going to have long lives. Al ho'adama, ksiv. Afu b'chutz la'aretz lo. God promises a long life to those living in Israel. How could it be there people, Rabbi Yochanan wondered, who are living in Chutz La'aretz, living in Bavel, and they're old? They're not part of that promise. Kevan da Amrile, once Rabbi Yochanan found out, Mekadmiu u'mechashchi, the Beit Knishta, people in Bavel spend lots of time in shul. They come extra early to shul, before davening, to say karbanos and to spend time there. And they stay late in shul. They don't just run out with half their tefillin off in the middle of Avodat Zion. They stay in shul for Tehillim, and they spend extra time in shul. Amar, hainu da'ahani lehu. That helps them. Kida'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lebenei, Yeshua ben Levi always instructed his children, kadimu v'chashichu, va'aylu lebei kenishta, come early and come often, and stay late. In shul, ki hechi detorchu chai. You'll have a long life. The problem is, it didn't answer his question. Rabbi Yochanan was puzzled that the pasuk says, you're only going to have a long life in Eretz Yisrael. When he found out they were going to shul, he said, okay, that's what's helping them out. No, the pasuk still says, you only have a long life in Eretz Yisrael. So that they have this other zechus. They don't wear shatnez. Yay! But the pasuk says, other zechus aren't going to help you. You only have a long life in Eretz Yisrael. How does going to shul help? So says the Marsha on this Gemara in Brachos. The Hainu Taima de Bekanishta de Bavel. How does it help? Havalei ke'ilu heim al ha'adama. They are in Eretz Yisrael. Pastor promises a long life in Eretz Yisrael. Guess what? Every shul is Eretz Yisrael. Shere yikba lo asad sham be Eretz Yisrael. As we saw in the Gemara in Megillah, the shuls are one day going to pick up and go to Eretz Yisrael. That isn't only a comment about what's going to happen one day. The fact that they're going to one day end up in Eretz Yisrael means that they're really satellites and embassies of that location now. And if a person only can access this Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, it makes sense that they can access it in Chutz Laretz, in their shuls. Because that's Eretz Yisrael too. That's Adama. Wow, amazing idea. We can access Arichas Yabim, the special Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, because we spend time in the embassies. We spend time in the satellites that are extensions of that Kedusha. Amazing idea. Let's take it a step further. How seriously do we take this idea of a shul being an extension of Eretz Yisrael, of the Beis HaMikdash? You know, oftentimes a person has to make a choice about what shul a person should daven in, and I'm definitely biased, so don't listen to me. But there is a very, very tired joke, so forgive me for repeating it for those who obviously know this joke. But there is a very old story about a person who was trapped on a desert island for, you know, several decades. And finally he's rescued, and after years and years of isolation, the people who came to rescue him are excited to see all the civilization he built up for himself. And they ask him for a tour, and he starts off, and he says, well, this is the gym, and this is the shul, and this is the supermarket, and this is the library, and this is the shul. And the guy says, well, you told me that was the shul. He says, yeah, I built a shul there, and I built a shul there. He says, you're living here all by yourself? What do you need two shuls for? He says, this is the shul where I daven. That's the shul I would never daven in. No, never. He built two shuls for himself, right? So choosing a shul is always a very loaded question. Mishnah Berurah says, if a person has a choice of two different shuls, how do you decide which shul to go to? Says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 12, V'yemyesh tei batei kinesios ba'ir. A person has access to two different shuls. Tov leilich laharechoka. Better to go to the farther shul. Kischar pisios yesh. A person gets rewarded for the number of steps that they take. I'm a big talker. I live next door to the shul. So maybe that says something about me. Fine. That being the case, where did he get this idea from? From the Gemara in Sota, in source number 13. The Gemara tells the story. Hahi almana da havai beknishta bishavavusa. There was a widow who had a shul in her own neighborhood, and yet, kol yoma havas asya umatzla beimidrashay de Rabbi Yochanan. She would go out of her way, very far out of her way, passing multiple shuls, to go to Rabbi Yochanan's place of davin. Amr labiti, lo beis haknesesh bishavavusech, don't you have a shul closer to home in your own neighborhood? Amr le Rabbi, lo schar pesios yeshli, don't I get schar for walking? There's an idea of schar halicha when it comes to shul. A person gets schar when they walk to shul. So the more steps you take, thinking of like a Fitbit, more steps you take to shul, the extra schar you get. If you're driving, the more steps your car is making, the farther you drive, the more schar you get. What an interesting and weird factor to consider. Why would that be so? Would that apply to all mitzvahs? I can get matzah at this bakery, or I can go to the bakery all the way in Montreal, which is where the shul got from last year. So should I do that? Should I travel by foot to get matzah from a farther place? I can scharp seos from going to get matzah? When it comes to a sukkah, Rav Schwab has that point in the next verse. Rav Schwab says, V'yesh lo ha'ir, amash lo matzino inyan ze etzal shar mitzvos. We don't find with all mitzvos, you get more schar for traveling to the farther one. Shehare, lo shemana me'olam, we've never heard before. Shem yesh lo adam, shtei sukkos, person can eat. Person's invited out for two meals on sukkos. Achas krova v'achas rechokah. You're invited to your neighbor for a sukkos, or you're invited to a sukkah a mile and a half away. Does anybody say, shiroi lelechas l'rechokah? There's a mitzvah to travel to the farther sukkah? Hey, you got scharp seos. If it works for traveling to a farther shul, why wouldn't it also apply to traveling to a farther sukkah? The chenkas of Hamaral. Shadin ze eino noheg ela b'halicha lebeis hakanesis. There's only an idea of schar halicha. There's only an idea of getting rewarded for the amount of steps that you take when you travel to shul and nothing else. Why? Why would it only apply to shul? Says Rav Schwab so beautifully. V'nira, shebe emes ikar ha'inyan shel schar psios. Where is there a concept of getting schar for walking? Novea mi mitzvahs aliyah l'regel. There is a mitzvah around the regular time, coming up right now. There is a mitzvah for a person to travel to the Beis HaMikdash for the regel. Shaholchem mirachok l'Beis HaMikdash. People from Tel Aviv and from Tveria, far, far away, they travel to the old city, they travel to the Mikdash. Even the mitzvah is called Aliyah LeRegel, which is a strange name for it. The holidays are called Regel. The name of the holidays were referred to as feet, because the feet is an important process. Says Rav Schwab, L'chein shayach inyan zeh gam b'beis ha-kneses, shu mikdash ma'at, avalo b'shar mitzvos. It wouldn't make sense to walk to the farther sukkah. Hey, I got more psios, I got more steps, I get my steps in for today. Or the farther shofar blowing, or the farther matzah bakery. No. There's no general concept of getting more schar for walking farther. But there is a mitzvah to walk to the Beis HaMikdash. And we have satellites and embassies of that Mikdash in our neighborhoods. When we walk to Shul, we are walking to the Mikdash. How do you like that? When you walk to Shul, you're walking to the Mikdash. So just like there's a mitzvah Aliyah LeRegel, there's a mitzvah Aliyah LeRegel to Shul. What's the context of Rav Schwab's comment? Rav Schwab is commenting on Parshas Balak. When Bilam is traveling to curse the Jewish people, his donkey bothers him once and bothers him twice. And finally, the donkey squats the third time, and Bilam starts screaming at the donkey, and the donkey opens his mouth and retorts back to Bilam. And he says, why'd you hit me these shalosh regalim? Meaning, why'd you hit me three times? And the phraseology is strange. Why is the donkey referring to three times, not as pi'amim, but as regalim? And Rashi comments, oh, you're going to curse a nation that celebrates shalosh regalim, so I'm going to tell you, don't curse them because they celebrate shalosh regalim, so don't hit me three times. Kind of weak. That's the connection. Regalim means times, and it's related to the regal, and we're also cursing a nation that blows shofar and also puts on tefillin. Why was that the example? So based on this explanation, that the idea of regal, the idea of walking, Schwab says, V'zeu sheramaz ha'asim le'bilam. That's what the donkey was telling Bilam. Sha'ata rotze, sha'ani eilech p'sios, k'neged ratzon Hashem yisparach. You're asking me to go take these steps to travel, to destroy Hashem's nation, as opposed to having them gathered together in the Mikdash. I'm not going to even take one step to violate Hashem's will. Just like he gives schar for Aliyah LeRegel, I'm going to get punished for every step that I take. In other words, the Ason, Al Derech Drush, was highlighting this unique aspect of Regel. It wasn't a coincidence. Oh, you're cursing a nation that celebrates Gimel Regalim. You're cursing a nation that gets rewarded for every step that they take. So certainly, I don't want to be the one, the donkey says, to take these steps where every step is an avera. Nice idea for Parshas Balak. But the idea for our purposes is, you look at that. The idea of Shul being Mikdash Ma'at, being a satellite, an embassy of Eretz Yisrael, has ramifications. The promise of long life applies in the Shul too. And the idea of Schar P'sios, the idea of Aliyah LeRegel, also applies to Shul on any day of the year. If there's an idea of gathering together in the Mikdash for the Regalim, then, and we're saying a Shul has the status of Mikdash, it would follow that there's a mitzvah to gather in Shul for them, for the Moadim. And that is, in fact, what the Ramban says. The Ramban in Parshas Emor, in Source 15, when he explains the phrase Mikra Kodesh. We constantly, in Kiddush and in Davening, refer to the holidays as Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh. What does that mean? Literally, what does Mikra Kodesh mean? The Ramban explains, you could say it means Mekiddush. Mikra means to call out, to declare it holy, by making Kiddush. But the Ramban says Mikra means to gather. Sha'yiyu b'yom hazeh kulam kuruim v'ne'asafim l'kadesh oso. On the Regel, we are Mikra Kodesh. We gather together in large numbers to sanctify Hashem. Ki mitzvahi al Yisrael lihikavetz bebeis Elokim b'yom moed l'kadesh hayom b'farhesia b'tfila v'halel l'kel b'ksus nikia. We dive into Hashem in our fancy clothes, in large groups, by having longer davening, and halel, the lasso, so soya mishta, and having a nice kiddush, and celebrating it. The Ramban's not talking about going to the Beis HaMikdash. Aliyah LeRegel is one thing. The Ramban is saying, the mitzvah of Mikrai Kodesh, on Yantiv, in Chutz Laaretz means to gather in shul. Why? Why is gathering in shul so important on Yantiv? Again, if the shul is the Mikdash, so traveling to shul is Aliyah LeRegel. The more steps you take, the more Aliyah LeRegel you're doing. And the large gatherings of Am Yisrael in shuls on Yantiv is a fulfillment of Aliyah LeRegel, of everyone packing into the Mikdash. Mikdash Ma'at. For Zocha to go to Eretz Yisrael proper, to go to the Mikdash proper, fine. If we don't have that opportunity, you got to come to shul. You come to shul, you're basically gathering in Eretz Yisrael. You're gathering in the Mikdash. And if you don't go there, what do the Gemara say? You're a bad neighbor, and you cause galus. Below od el shagorim galus l'lubanav. Abba to cause galus. Well, galus means you're not entering, you're being kicked out of the Beis HaMikdash. A person who chooses not to spend time in the Beis HaMikdash, ma'at, of our neighborhood shuls, it's a galus. It's a very fitting consequence. It is galus. because you're not spending time, you're not spending quality, meaningful relationship time in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaShem. So what do we have so far? We have this idea that shul is not just a matter of having access to a minyan, a place to have Kriyas HaTorah, where they have a Sefer Torah. That's not it. That's not only it. Minyan is a separate topic. Farbshim HaKdusha is a topic for another time. Shul by itself is special. Daven in shul. Why? Because you're davening in Eretz Yisrael, in your own neighborhood. You're davening in the Mikdash, in your own neighborhood. You have arichas, you haven't promised only for those in Eretz Yisrael. You have that in the embassy, down your block, two blocks away. In fact, the more steps you take, the more aliyah regel you're doing, and on the regel, especially on the regel, which is called regel because of the mitzvah of walking, especially on that time, to gather together, is a beautiful opportunity to have Mekrei Kodesh, to have that gathering in the Beis HaMikdash. But we still have to go one more step. We have to understand why. Yes, it's nice that we've seen all the sources, we've seen proof that the Mikdash is extended and has its own territory in all of our neighborhoods, in all of our blocks. But why? You would expect, if something's going to be an extension of something else, that it follows that same principle, that it has the same qualities as the original. But I don't really think that's a good comparison. The Beis HaMikdash, obviously, we all know, is all about Karbanos. That was the main avoda on the Beis HaMikdash. And in Shul, I don't see any animal sacrifices. Actually, we should have the board meeting upstairs. We should start instituting animal sacrifices in our synagogue. It'll be my last day here, and I'll live next door. It'll be so awkward. No, we don't offer sacrifices. And yes, there is an idea that Karbanos nowadays are manifest somehow in Tefillah. That's our topic for next week, by the way, to figure out what that means and how that is. But Bikaro, if the Mikdash really is about Karbanos, then why is it fair to say that our shuls are an extension of that when we daven? If we're davening here, and this is really called Eretz Yisrael, this is called the Beis HaMikdash, so then that indicates the Mikdash was a place of davening too. Is that true? Do we find any proof the Beis HaMikdash really was a source of davening? When they had Karbanos, it was a source of davening? And the answer is a resounding yes. A person who mistakenly thinks that the Beis HaMikdash was all about Karbanos and Tefillah is a modern invention is missing some very key texts describing the basic foundation, the basic function of the Beis HaMikdash. A pasuk coming up very timely for this time of year, V'havi osim el har kodshi, I'll bring them to Har HaBayis, V'simachtim eves tefilasi, I will rejoice with them in my house of Tefillah. Interesting, house of Tefillah. Maybe this pasuk is talking about when there weren't Karbanos. Olo sehem v'zivchehem l'ratzon ha-mizbechi, they're offering Karbanos on the Mizbeach, ki beisi beis tefillah yikarei l'chol ha'amim. My house is a house of tefillah. That's how it should be called forever. Sorry, for all people. All nations will see the Mikdash as a source of tefillah. Yeah, Karbanos is mentioned also. But Hashem is highlighting the Mikdash as a house of tefillah. When Shlomo HaMelech dedicates the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't talk much about Karbanos. He talks about Karbanos. But look what he says in Malach HaMalach, in source number 17. Ufanisa el tefilas avdecha de'el techinaso Hashem Elokai l'shmoa el harina v'el atfila. We had the pasuk before. That pasuk is on the context of Shul. That pasuk is in the context of Beis HaMikdash. At the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech davens to Hashem that this should be a place where you listen to our tefilas. Asher avdecha mispala l'fanecha hayom, that I'm davening to you. But not just this tefillah today that Shlomo HaMelech is davening at the inauguration. Liyoseinecha pesuchos el habayis hazeh laila v'yom Hashem. You should have your eyes open and attentive to those who come to this house day and night. El makom asher amarta yiyesh misham l'shmoa el hatfilah asher yispala avdecha el makom hazeh. Shlomo is saying every time, constantly be on the lookout for those who come to daven here. Not those who are offering karbanos here. V'shamata el techinas avdecha, you should listen to the prayers of your servant, meaning Shlomo, v'amcha Yisrael, and all the people of the nation, asher yispalu el makom hazeh, v'ata tishma el makom shivtecha, el ha-shamayim v'shamata v'salachta. You should forgive them. The Beis HaMikdash was not only a place of karbanos. In fact, the way the pasuk describes it, it's almost primarily about tefillah. We'll have to delve deeply next week and to figure out what exactly is the relationship between karbanos and tefillah, which obviously has a great parallel. Don't worry, we're going to get to that topic another time. But clearly, from the sources about the Beis HaMikdash's inauguration, Shlomo HaMelech goes on to say, and the nations of the world who come here, and they offer you karbanos, and they offer you tefillos, don't turn them away. The Beis HaMikdash was a national base tefillah yikrei l'chol amim. It was an international spot of prayer. for the entire world. Which gets us to stop and ask, are we misunderstanding what the Mikdash is really about? The fact that our shuls are an extension, they're embassies, and have the status of Karka, of Eretz Yisrael, of the Mikdash, indicates the Mikdash also had that status of tefillah. Which works perfectly with everything we've been talking about throughout this entire series. We've been describing tefillah not as a magic button, but as a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a relationship with Hashem. And the reality is, especially we can understand with modern technology, we can have a relationship with people even long distance. You can text someone, and you can call someone, send an email to someone, you can FaceTime with someone, you can Zoom with someone, but nothing compares in a relationship to face-to-face time. I don't mean FaceTime, I mean actual, literal face-to-face time in the same room. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, He's truly everywhere, but the reception isn't the same. He's there, He gets the messages, He gets the tefillahs, He gets that we're talking to Him, you say brachos in the car, on the streets, at work, all true, and that was last week's topic. We have to daven, we have to have this relationship all day long. But there's something special about face-to-face time. There's something special about that heightened level of awareness, where it's not just a text. And the texts are important too. And between big moments in shul face-to-face, we also want to have those texts throughout the day. When you love someone, when you have a relationship with someone, you give them messages throughout the day, thinking about you right now. But if the entirety of the relationship is long-distance calls or long-distance messages, the relationship is stunted. The relationship is maximized when there's a lot of face-to-face time, when there's a lot of intimate, personal, in the same room at the same time, time. A shul accomplishes that that no house minion can do. The benefit of davening in a shul, even without a minion per se, is that we are choosing to be in a place that is miuchad for Ashras Ashchina and relating to Hashem. That was the Mikdash. And we have the same thing over here. It's the same thing. A shul, of course, is Mikdash Ma'at because it does accomplish the same purpose as the Mikdash. It's not Mikdash was Karbanos and this is Tefillah and Tefillah is kind of close, so let's call it even. It's the Mikdash. Wasn't about Karbanos per se. It's based tefillah, about relating to Hashem, of seeing His miracles, of having that face-to-face time. And the shuls in our neighborhoods are the closest we can accomplish that same thing. Pasuk describes by the regel, Shalosh pamim bashana, yirea kol zechorecha el pinei ha'adon Hashem. That's our face-to-face time. When we come to the Mikdash, of course He's in Tveria, of course He's in Tzfat, of course He is. But when you come to the Mikdash, it's not just a text message or an email. That's the face-to-face time. And Hashem says at the time of Galus, I'm going to give you Mikdash Ma'at in Bavel and everywhere else. You can still have that face-to-face time. It's a miniature version, not in a reduced Kedusha way, but it's the portable version. You have a chance to rendezvous, to have that intimate gathering, that face-to-face time with Hashem everywhere. How lucky are we to have shuls? How lucky are we to have places where we can have that amazing reception, that amazing connection to Hashem. Of course, davening is not the same when you don't daven in shul. Putting aside minyan, just the shul itself, you're having that face-to-face time with Hashem. What a relationship. Of course, the davening is more accepted. To use the Gemara's extreme language, it's only accepted here. Again, not that it's not worth davening anywhere else. That's not what we're saying. But of course, the tefillah is a different level. How can you compare a face-to-face conversation, a face-to-face hug, compared to an emoji of a heart? It's nice to get emojis of the heart throughout the day. And that's brachos. We got to focus on that too. But there's something so special about the idea of a mikdash. Mikdash ma'at. Of having it wherever we go. The more steps that you take, the more you're traveling through snow and hail to get to your beloved. That's what it is. That's Shir Hashirim. The lover is looking to embrace, to spend time together. Of course it has to be in person. That would be a really anticlimactic ending to Shir Hashirim. Right? They're longing for each other and taking turns missing each other. And at the end, they have a nice text message and that's the end. No, what do you mean? Of course they get together and they embrace. Of course they have to get together in person. You daven in shul, you daven in person. You daven to Hashem face to face. El Pnei Hadon Hashem, that's the Mikdash. That's our Mikdash Ma'at, scattered throughout the world. We have them right here on our block. Amazing. Amazing, the Mikdash. The shuls. It's the same idea. It's a perfect extension. It's our face-to-face time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out an interesting difference between the Mikdash and the shuls. We've been highlighting until now all the similarities, all the great ways in which they're exactly the same, but there's actually a difference between the conduct a person has to maintain in a shul, which is not at the same level a person has to maintain in the Mikdash. To quote a very prominent example, is about wearing shoes. When a person came to the Mikdash, they couldn't wear shoes. it was a problem of mor mikdash. It would be a violation of awe and reverence for the temple for a person to go with shoes. But we go to shul wearing shoes. If really they're exactly the same thing, if the mikdash ma'at, the shul is an extension of the base of mikdash, how come we don't have to observe all the exact same rules in a shul? So listen to this idea from Rav Schachter, quotes it in Eretz HaTzvi from Rav Soloveitchik. A beautiful idea to help us conceptualize and to finally put it together. What it means to have this idea of a shul. Rav Schachter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik. On the first line in source number 19. The chol inyan ha-mishkan va-ha-mikdash huliyos lanu mako miyuchad lehiva'ed sham im ha-shechina. As we've been saying, it's that FaceTime, it's that rendezvous, it's that beautiful connection with the Shechina. The inyan zem is kayim bein bebeis ha-mikdash, bein bebeis ha-knesses. That rendezvous, that face-to-face embrace takes place in the mikdash and equally in shul. You know what the difference is? Who's hosting? Ela shehahevdel shebeineihem hu. Shebeis ha-mikdash hu beis Hashem. Ki beisi beis tefila, Hashem says. That's Hashem's house. We are the visitors, we are traveling, and we are going to his house in the temple in Jerusalem in the Old City. And there we are the guests visiting him in his house to have that face-to-face time. That's our house. Hashem comes to visit us in our shuls in West Hempstead and all throughout New York and all the entire world. The relationship is the same. The face-to-face time is the same. But sometimes he goes to her house, and sometimes she goes to his house. Once they're together, the relationship, the two sides, are the same two people, and the embrace is the same. But who's hosting? The Rav explained further. When we are guests in Hashem's house, how does a guest act in someone else's house? There's obviously a heightened rules for how you behave when you're a guest in someone else's house. My kids don't listen to me. They're jumping on the couch and we say, no, only at home. We can't do that in someone else's house. But I have that sensitivity because when it's my house, we can do whatever we want. But when it's someone else's house, you got to be a little bit more respectful. The shul is our home. We're the hosts. Hashem Yisparach mis areach etzleinu. He is the guest by us. Liva eid itanu. The lo mikri ela mikdash ma'at. Me'achar shagam hu makam hamiyucha lehivayin im Hashem Yisparach. Yes, it is a place of mikdash. It is a place of rendezvous. It is a place of a loving embrace. Ach lo noheg bo din ze de mikdash yitiro b'chol tokvo. It's not exactly the same way. Yes, we don't eat in shul and we don't goof around in shul. We have to have a certain decorum in shul. But we don't have to do the exact same thing of taking off our shoes, because when you're in your house, you choose, you want to wear shoes, that's fine. When you go to someone else's house, you take off their shoes. You have a heightened level of mora mikdash. And that is the idea. Beyond the halacha of taking off your shoes and not keeping shoes on or taking shoes off, think about this idea of, yes, a shul is a mikdash ma'ad in that it allows us to extend a wonderful embrace of Hashem in all places throughout the world. Think of what it means of the responsibility we have when we are the hosts. Being a guest is nice. You're a little out of sorts. You don't have your favorite things with you. But at least, you know, someone else is taking care of you. When you're a host, the pressure is you got to make sure the guest has a good time. If we are the host in our shul, and we've moved that relationship with Hashem, that same embrace which took place in the mikdash, and now we've moved that same embrace to our satellites, to our embassies, the relationship is still the same. The hugs are still the same. Only this time, it's up to us. We're responsible for creating the ambiance. When we go to the mikdash, he does the miracles. He creates the fire and has the karbanos flying up to the sky and all the miracles that Chazal described in Pirkei Avos happening. God's creating God is creating the ambiance in his house in the mikdash. But when he comes to our shul, the embrace is the same, but the responsibility is different. How we act in shul, how we arrange our shuls, how we daven in shul, we are setting the tone for whether our guest feels comfortable, whether he wants to come back. That's a responsibility on us. Mar Maseches Brachos says, on Daf Vav, Am Rabbi Yochanan, B'shash HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba, B'beis HaKnesset, when God comes to visit us, like the Rav said, God comes to visit us in our shuls, B'lo Matzaba Asara, and God sees we're not starting davening on time. There's no minyan there, no one's saying Kaddish because everyone's delayed. Hu Ko'es, God is upset. Shenemar, Madua Ba'asi Ve'ein Ish Karasi Ve'ein Oneh. Why am I here and there's no one here? Why am I calling out and no one's answering me? Fits the Rav's idea beautifully of God visiting our shuls. He's coming to us and he's saying, why isn't the decorum a place that makes me want to stay? Why are we not acting in a way that allows Hashem to feel comfortable here? And suddenly we have an important mandate. We have an important responsibility to think about. How are we supposed to set up our shuls? How are we supposed to allow the relationship to thrive? Tefillah is a relationship. And shul is a big part of that. Because the relationship depends on the venue and where you spend time. And it's the same embrace. But when it's up to us, we have to think, are we davening properly? Are we having our shuls set up in a way to make him want to come back? To make Hashem want to stay? It's a matter of presenting ourselves in shul. It's a matter of davening in shul. It's important food for thought, especially at this time of year when more people come to shul than do normally during the rest of the year. Are we going to appreciate what it means to be in shul? Are we going to appreciate the blessing that we have to have a shul in our neighborhood? To have a place to rendezvous with the Shechina? That same exact embrace that we get in Eretz Yisrael and we're davening for it back so badly? Are we meeting, are we reaching the responsibility of creating a hospitable environment for Hashem who's looking for an embrace, looking for a connection, looking for that relationship to thrive for our tefillahs? I'll end up with one thought to kind of gear us toward this time of year and what it means to have a mikdash ma'at. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos in the very beginning that Rabbi Yossi one time was davening in a churva. He was davening in, Gemara says, Pamachas hayisi mehalech baderech v'nechnasti lechurva achas mechurvos Yerushalayim lesbal. Rabbi Yossi was davening in one of the broken, rundown areas of Yerushalayim. Bo Eliyahu zachar latov. None other than Eliyahu Hanavi himself comes to visit him. B'shamar Eliyahu ha-Pesach ad shesiyamti tefilasi. Eliyahu Hanavi watches Rabbi Yossi davening and waits there for him. Must be a very important person. Elijah the prophet is waiting for this guy to finish davening. Lachar shesiyamti tefilasi amar li shalom alecha Rabbi. Elijah the prophet greets Rabbi Yossi and he says, hey, how you doing? Imarti lo, shalom alecha Rabbi Amori. Great, how are you? V'amar li, b'ni, mipnei ma nechnas l'churva zo. What were you doing in that terrible rundown building? Amarti lo, l'espala, I was davening there. And Eliyahu says you shouldn't really daven in a broken down place. It's not a safe place to daven. But then Rabbi Yossi starts to ask Eliyahu Navi some questions. V'amar li, Eliyahu first says to him, b'ni, ma kol shemata b'churva zo. Did you hear anything when you're davening in the churvos of Yerushalayim? And Rabbi Yossi says, Shemati baskol shemina hemes kiyona v'yomeres. I hear the Shechina, I hear this voice coming out, wailing like a bird, and it says, Oy lebanim shebe'avonoseihem hecharavti es besi v'saravti es heichali v'heglisim lebein ha'umos. Hashem says, it's a real shame that my people, because of their sins, I had to destroy my house and burn my heichal and exile them. V'yamar li, chayecha v'chay rosh. Eliyahu says to Rabbi Yossi, I promise you, Lo sha zobel vado meres kath. The Shechina isn't only wailing this one time you happen to overhear it. Ela b'chol yom v'yom shalosh pa'amim meres kath. The Shechina is constantly, multiple times a day, crying about this. V'lo zobel vad, you know what the Shechina says? B'shashi Yisrael nechnas l'bate kinesios, l'bate midrashos. When people come to shul, the only Yehesh Mei Rabbah, and they daven in shul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu minanea roshov Arshem shakes his head, and he says, Ashrei HaMelech shemekal senoso bebeso kach. Oh, how lucky is a king that they can praise him in his house like this. Malo li'av shehigla esbanav, how unfortunate for a father who had to exile his children. V'oy lehem lebanim shegalu me'al shulchan aviyam, how sad it is for the kids who are no longer next to their father. Why does God say this when we come to shul? Eliyahu's point was, God is always sad about the Churban. We think of ourselves as mourning the Churban. God is mourning the Churban all day too. But he especially mourns it when we come to Shul. Hashem says, I miss my house. It's hard being a guest. It's a reminder when we come to Shul that yes, this relationship is there, this special relationship is there, and we should take advantage of it. But it's reminiscent to Hashem of, I wish I can do this in my house. I wish I can host you back. I wish we can do this praise in my house. How sad it is that we can't do that. And I was thinking, if that really is our model based on Mikdash, and it's incumbent upon us to create the right avira, the right decorum and environment, have the Shechina feel comfortable, another piece of it is, it's almost like Hashem is waiting for us to show that we appreciate this miniature version before he gives us back the real one. Kind of giving a child a model version. You know, if a child can drive this race car, this remote control car, then they're ready to drive a real car. We would never actually say that. But you got to practice first on the small one. And when you do it right, maybe you're deserving of the big one. This time of year, we're davening for so many things, so many personal things. But on a larger scale, we're really davening to go back to the base of Mikdash. One way to do this is to spend time in shul. And we're coming to shul anyway because it's the high holidays. But the way in which we relate to our shuls during this time of year may give off the impression to Hashem whether we truly cherish the relationship, whether we truly cherish to have this rendezvous with him. And if he really feels when we come to shul that we're praising Heshmei Rabbah, we're saying to Hashem, I miss this relationship with you. We'd like to be invited back to your house. It's hard for us always hosting the playdates. We're hosting again, we're hosting again, we're hosting, you're hosting. We'd like to go back. So let's show Hashem what it means for us to have a shul. Let's show him what it means for us to be a host and say, you know, while you're here, we're going to treat the shul like a wonderful opportunity, whenever we can. We're not going to be a bad neighbor. We're going to go whenever we can, and we don't want this galus anymore. If we truly cherish the relationship and tefillah all the time, all the places, but especially when we go down the block or two blocks away or as far as it takes to get to this, make the extra effort to daven in shul, we show Hashem, we cherish the face-to-face time. We cherish this time, and Hashem says, that's what I want to have back in my house. Maybe if we do a good enough job in our model based on Mikdash, he'll give us back the real one. So what are our takeaways for tonight? Number one, we should view shuls as an extension of the base of Mikdash. They're satellites, they're embassies of actually Eretz Yisrael and the base of Mikdash. For that reason, walking to shul, we should think about, we're walking to the Mikdash. It's Aliyah LeRegel. And as Ramban said, gathering in shul for the Regel is like gathering in the base of Mikdash for the Regel. Number two, tefillahs are more powerful in Mikdash and shul because it's face-to-face time with Hashem. The Mikdash is not described in Tanakh as only a place of karbanos. It's a place of tefillah. It's a place of face-to-face time. And yes, God is everywhere. Baruch Shalom is in the shower and everywhere else, but there's nothing like good face-to-face time. As Soloveitchik said, we're guests in the Mikdash. We have a chance to be hosts in shul. But it's up to us, as the host, to create that avira, to create that hospitable environment for the Shechina. And God willing, if we have the opportunity to show Hashem at this time of year how much we cherish this beautiful relationship, this great face-to-face time, may we all be zocha to return back to Eretz Yisrael with the real Beis HaMikdash, Meherav Yameinu. Building on this idea for next week, we're going to talk about so then how does Karbanos play into this, and how should we now, with this backdrop, if we view shuls as a Beis HaMikdash, how can we view our tefillos as the Karbanos, as the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? Please join us next week, same time, same place, in this Mikdash Ma'at, as we continue to talk about the idea of a shul as a Mikdash and our tefillos as Karbanos.